Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. It's Sam and Greg. It's a what?
Game day Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. You can hear divisional games right here. It's Chargers and Patriots. Kickoff at 1:05, followed by the Eagles, who I'm picking to go all the way, against the Saints, 4:40. Kickoff. You can hear those games again here at 92.9 The Game. And if you want to hear some basketball action, Hawks are taking on the Bucks. Pre-game at 3 o'clock, kickoff at 3:30. You can hear
not
that.
Kickoff. You said kickoff.
Because it says kickoff right here.
You said kickoff again.
I know. What does that say? What did Sean put right there? Yeah, what did he put?
We're not going to throw Sean. We're not going to throw him under the bus.
You threw him under the bus yesterday.
It's a tip-off.
What does it say?
It says kick.
Thank you. You about to lie on the. Your mother would come back and just snatch you ball-headed. Don't tell a lie on the radio. We love us some Sean. That's how busy he is.
Yeah, he is.
That's how busy the
He's
man is.
He's got stuff going on.
He got stuff going on. He got time for kick and tip, all that stuff. So anyway, you can hear that the Hawks down on 1380 WAOK. You said something yesterday that I wanted to just touch on. I'm curious as to the high school, because you mentioned – I didn't know that L. Duncan went to McEachern.
McEachern.
Yeah.
As much as you love the shout-out.
So I'm going to
– And the reason we mentioned L. Duncan was because we're doing technology advances, things that have enhanced your broadcast experience, because – the Goodyear blimp is being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And because during Monday night's national championship game, L. Duncan was broadcasting from the Goodyear blimp.
I wonder what high school here in Atlanta, because I didn't go to high school here, has the most famous alums. Or if there's a school that has a number of famous alums that we'd be impressed with. Like, what school did you go to?
I went to Headland High School.
Did you have any other famous people besides you?
Yeah, there's some other folks over there.
But you got to reach for them. I'm talking about folks that you know right off.
Everybody that went there when the school opened in 1958, I don't know.
Before we get to the today's.
I can rattle off a few. I mean, if you want to
rattle
off a few.
Give me a couple famous names.
Booker T. Washington High School, Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay, that's a pretty good one.
Dunwoody High School, Ryan Seacrest.
Okay.
Frederick Douglass High School.
More than one, though. Just have the one?
I don't know who else. You just said who's a
okay,
one.
Okay, I want one with like a few.
Douglass High School, Jamal Lewis, running back.
Okay.
Keisha Lance Bottoms, our mayor.
Mayor Keisha.
Who needs some work
the one
on.
You made fun of. Go ahead and say it.
Who needs some work on that mac and cheese.
Go!
But she's.
And you working with her, too.
Douglass High School.
She's going to say something about you
yes,
this
she
week.
Is.
I had mentioned an ADR, and I mentioned a pickup, and this is something that happens throughout movies. Before we get to the NFL action for today, I promise I'd tell you a famous one. The movie The Godfather, the scene where Michael goes to Vegas, is toward like the last third of the movie where Michael's now taken over, and he goes to Vegas, and Fredo set up this, you know, he's supposed to hook him up with Mo Green.
Okay.
Right? And so he brings Michael to the room, and then he's got all these girls in there, and there's a band, and Michael's like, hey, I'm here for business. Get these folks out of here. And they clears him out of the room. Mo Green shows up, and Michael says, I want to buy you out. Okay, and Mo Green's like, no, you're not buying me out. I'm not going to do it word for word. But the scene, the line that I'm talking about is where Mo Green comes back at Michael Corleone and says, you guys aren't as tough as, you know, you used to be. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. You know, the Godfather's sick. He's getting old. He's going to retire. And then after that, he says, I talked to Bozzini. That line is noticeably different in the sound quality and the delivery from the lines he said before that and the lines he said after that. That was an ADR. That was a loop-in that was done. It's obvious it was done after the film was shot. They brought Alex Rocco back in to do that scene. That's the guy who played Mo Green. But it's noticeable. But then again, it was 1971 or so. The movie came out in 72, but it was 71 when they shot it.
So technology of that time.
Exactly. You know, still the analog, and we're in the digital now. But that line, I talked to Bozzini. It's noticeable. So anyway, that's the most famous one that I can think of. Having said that.
We talking about technology. Any more advances? Anything else?
I can't think of none.
I can think of some as far as things that have enhanced your sports viewing experience. Since we talked about the Goodyear blimp, and we're inviting people to weigh in with those if you care during the course of the morning, 4474-10929. We had some yesterday. We got more today. I'm thinking NASCAR onboard cameras. I think that's something that when you watch any car race now, be it NASCAR, be IndyCar, you can get that perspective of the car on the track. And so I think that's something that's in, it's not just a camera up top watching cars go around in circles, you know, like it used to be. Now you can go inside the car, you're seeing foot pedals, you're seeing all kinds of things you can see. So I think onboard cameras for auto racing in general.
All right, I got no problem with that one. I would expect to see that in a NASCAR race now today. So you're right. That'd be a mainstay that I would not want to do without. We talked earlier about I was talking to Bo about this before we went on, as far as home field advantage, where New Orleans win today. Them are the Rams, and it's going to be New Orleans because of their victory over the Rams, but also just how the Rams and Kansas City season ended in kind of a couple hiccups where people thought they weren't clicking on all cylinders the way they had been. And the one that was telling as far as the Chiefs was that game against the Chargers where Phillips Rivers came back and got that win and two-point conversion.
Right.
I can't tell you how much I want to see that happen again today. Him on the road and doing it to New England. And I don't care if it's snowy out there, but I just think I talked about this. I had two guys going into these playoffs that I thought this was their time to take it to the next level, a level that a lot of football fans thought they should be at or should have been at by now. Well, one was Andrew Luck, and he got set back because of his injuries. The other is Phillip Rivers. And I don't know why I'm coming late to this party, but he was always just a guy who was like an afterthought.
Right.
But I want him to see. I want to see him get his due this year. I really do. Now that would also mean him getting past one of the teams I want to see get to the Super Bowl too, and that's Kansas City. But if he wins today, I'm good with that.
I want to see him win today. I want to see him win today. 1 o'clock start. Looks like it's going to be around 35 degrees or so. Going to be kind of cold up there, Foxborough. We got a team from sunny Southern California.
And the funny thing is, you ever notice these last few times when they showed a Chargers game, do they show that brand new stadium that's being built in LA? Because I only see it when they show Rams games. For whatever reason.
But they both are going to play there.
I know, that's what I mean. But it's like, oh yeah, the Chargers are going to play here too. Because I only see that, the stadium.
You see, like stepchildren.
Model when I'm watching Rams games. I'm sure they show it during the Chargers game. I just haven't seen it. But I seen it with all the Rams bells and whistles.
You do?
Yeah.
Every time the Rams are on, as a matter of fact, they show that thing.
You notice Troy Aikman skipped over something. I noticed this yesterday. I'm sure there's other people in Atlanta that noticed
this
too.
Yeah, we noticed it too.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
When he talked about the stadium?
Yeah.
They showed the stadium that's being built in L.A. and talked about all the bells and whistles and what kind of a state-of-the-art stadium that was going to be. And they went on, Joe Buck and him went on for a good minute or so about this stadium and where it's located. By the way, Inglewood? If there was a city in L.A. that needed some roads paved and some extra police presence, it's Inglewood.
They will get it now. They will get all of that now.
But after they talked about this new stadium, Troy Aikman made a point of saying, well, I didn't think there was ever going to be anything that was going to be better than Jerry World and what Jerry built.
Yep.
And made no mention about that stadium around the corner from here.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure everyone made note of that last night. I know I did. The minute I heard it, my ears
didn't
like,
have
oh,
anything
really?
To say about
really?
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Really?
Yeah. So he knows where he knows what city his plane lands in later on. That's what's up. But I did. I just noticed that. So you got the Rams winning the Patriots. My question to you is this, and we were just talking about Trevor Lawrence and where he may land. How much longer is Belichick going to hang out? I mean,
we just talked about a player and a coach possibly departing in New Orleans. And I think it's pretty much, I think we'll see the same thing in New England.
Yeah, but Brady's talking about playing another 3 years. And as long as he's healthy, they're going to give him the ball. Whether somebody, I mean, who else is there that's going to trump Belichick and say, no, it's time for us to get a high draft pick?
I don't know. I don't know if Brady goes 3 more years. We'll see.
I don't think so either.
We'll see today. Today is the start of it. If they don't get to the Super Bowl this year, then what, are they still okay to stand pat with the guy? They got to get ready for the future eventually.
That's the thing. And does eventually mean with that coach? Because that's a big deal. It's not just Brady exiting stage left. It's who's going to coach the next guy. And all those brains walking out the door with Brady, then as we talked about with some of the other programs, they're going to have to, like, just like an Etch-a-Sketch, man, just start over again. Hang on a second.
Etch-a-Sketch. Well, where's the bell? People don't know what an Etch a Sketch is, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very
much. You hit the reset button.
We'll see that. We'll see that today, though. But maybe the Patriots have them where they want them. They had them on their home field. And, you know, like you said, you get Brady to the place, you're going to put a good line in front of him. He's always running back by committee. Yeah, I mean, he could change up running backs every year for what they do with a running back at that place and get him some receivers to catch the ball. Does he throw the deep ball as much anymore? No. But what he does, you know, he does very well in receivers who always manage to seem to get some yards after the catch.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you are just tuning in, we got a poll out there that you can participate in, but this is a poll just for our female audience members. We threw it out there and wanted to find out, given the events of this past week, Tim Tebow got engaged. Jeff Bezos is getting divorced. Let's say they were both single. Ladies in our audience, who do you feel is the more attractive get? Not attractive, I should say. Who of those two would you desire to be with more?
More desirable.
Yeah, something like
but
that.
But it is 2019, so if you're a dude and you want to participate in the poll, you're more than welcome to also. We just got to get that out there. We got to be PC, bro. No?
Oh, so you're saying for our game?
Anybody that thinks Tim Tebow is an eligible bachelor can participate in the poll.
Put it that way? You know. Fine. Okay. What do we got? What percentages do we have right now?
Tim Tebow is up 60% over Jeff Bezos.
I think in this part of the country, people just have more knowledge.
To the end of the show, you got about an hour, 50 minutes left.
People just have more knowledge of Tim Tebow in this area.
Other than the richest man on the planet?
Yeah, people know Tim Tebow.
People, I think so too.
Football fans.
I get that, but people know who the richest man on the planet. Plus, they spent all this money with him over the holidays in Amazon. Who doesn't know who Jeff Bezos and his bank account?
They may know who he is, but do they care?
Yeah,
but
they care about his when you go on Amazon, it doesn't say anything about him.
No, but point taken. That was the wrong way to come at this. But just say the richest man on the planet. You know that there are women who are going to gravitate that way first. And so that's all. That was the point of it. Even though you know we're down here in the Southeast, yeah. But Tim Tebow's character is what's a block ahead of him. That's what I'm saying, which is why you would think one would cancel out the other. But we are seeing that our audience, the women in our audience, are going for character and substance as opposed to bank account.
And they're college football fans.
Okay, if you want to throw that in, I guess that's part of it, too.
Part of it?
I said part of it, too. Yeah.
I think it's a big part of it.
Okay.
And these people have in this part. Now, if you were in another part of the country, maybe something.
I don't
but
know
in this
that
part
that
of the
has
country,
anything. I mean, I think it's easy country, to people just hang, have a, hang people, your head on that.
Folks just got a better knowledge of Tim Tebow in this part of the country. They know they've been.
What more do they need to know other than, I mean, you know what he is.
Right.
Okay, what do you need to know more about Jeff Bezos? If you are a female thinking about, okay, I got these two guys. One's this, and it's full of character, and he's got some money, too, by the way. We're going to live comfortably. You know, Tim Tebow will live comfortably during married life and his family. And you got this other craziness. Because there will be craziness when you are the richest man on the planet.
Oh, absolutely. That follows you. You don't have a choice.
Except he ain't going to be that for much longer.
Well.
You got to give, as Eddie Murphy said, half. He got to give away half his stuff.
That'd still be enough, man. That'd still be enough.
70 million? 70
they'll live,
billion?
They'll live okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think they'll be under a tent. I think they'd be okay.
Let me ask you this.
Yep.
Getting back to the football action.
Mm.
Eagles win it all. Best story? And the reason I bring this up is because I was actually looking at something a second ago. This is the anniversary of Michael Jordan quitting for the second time. It was on the heels of the strike that was going to take place in the 98-99 season in the NBA, and Michael said, all right, enough. And that's when he retired for the second time. We know he came back in 2001 and played for the Wizards. But the 2 years that Jordan was retired – and the Rockets won. That, in the minds of some basketball fans, not a lot, and not to me either, was because, you know, Michael wasn't there. I'm saying if Philly comes back again, I'm hearing Rudy Tomjanovich in my head. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. I think that is equal to, if not better, than what Houston did during that time when Jordan's out. You think it's possible?
Can they pull it off? It's going to be very difficult. I don't know if they can pull it off today.
Nobody thought the Rockets could pull it off.
No, they
any
didn't.
Kind of back-to-back champions. It wasn't easy for New England when they did it last.
Tough going against Saints in their place today. It's going to be
just
very difficult.
But sometimes that team has just got that thing that you can't describe. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. By the way, you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to talk to a guy right now, continue this NFL talk, with Steve Hummer.
No.
Is he up next?
No,
oh,
no,
we
got basketball, man. We got
that's
college,
right. We got to switch gears.
College
basketball. Yeah, Deshaun. Sorry about that, D. He is up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I told you I'm a mess, man. morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Game day Sunday morning.
Morning.
Kind of foggy out.
Yeah, man. The fog is like kind of rolled in here to us here in Midtown. So be careful if you're out there on the road driving around this
morning. We're going to spend most of the 9 o'clock hour. Yeah, so we got 4 hours again. Talking NFL action, getting ready for today's divisional games. Kind of rehash some of the matchups from yesterday. I'm a mess. Just you got
okay.
to talk.
All
just
right.
talk.
Okay.
I'll be doing this no more.
That's coming up next hour. Thank but of course, this hour we're going to talk college basketball as we always do on Sunday mornings at this time with our very own college hoops guru here at Sports Radio 92.9
The Game. Is he a guru?
Yes, he is. Deshaun Tate. Good morning.
How do you feel about that?
Good morning to you guys. I guess I'm good with guru. I think I'll accept that title. I was just talking to Bo over there, and I know he's getting ready for his big Saints game or whatever. And I'm like, you guys are still talking about that football stuff? Like, I thought we kind of, like, turned the page now.
No, not yet.
Hopefully I can have this basketball stuff all to myself really soon, man, because I've been waiting patiently.
Yeah, but then what happens when we put you on the back burner because we got to talk NBA?
I can talk a little bit of NBA too. So I've been kind of, I've been kind of working on my NBA skills a little bit lately, especially doing a lot of reporting over there at the Hawks game. And credit to them, they've been playing some really good basketball lately too.
All right. So we found out last night the only way to take Zion Williamson down is to poke him in the eye. That's what's going on.
Well, no, not necessarily. A couple weeks ago, they played Texas Tech, and that's why people got to give this Duke team a lot more credit. I've been one to say that Michigan and Virginia both are the two best teams in the country, and it's not, a knock on Duke or anything. I think that Duke's obviously really good, but, a couple weeks ago they played Texas Tech up in Madison Square Garden, which is, quote-unquote, probably Cameron Indoor Stadium North, and they came away with a win, and they did what they were supposed to do and got Zion Williamson in foul trouble. Now, this is a totally different situation, but this is why you have the number one, number two, number three, and number 10 ranked players in the country that came in all in the same class, freshman class, and Cam Reddish finally showed up after not really playing so well the last few weeks. And, this is what happens. You're going to have games like, certain games where Duke doesn't play well because they're hitting that learning curve and that freshman curve. And then you're going to have games where it's like we've got all the talent in the world and they're going to pull us through games. And that's what happened yesterday.
Well, I should elaborate. I mentioned Zion Williamson. He got poked in the eye. Second half of the Duke game against Florida State, and at the end of the game, these guys hit a buzzer beater and they got the win. I wasn't following Florida State that much to know that they've had a pretty good season so far. They've only got two losses, so that actually would have had these two teams tied, but I would not think that they're in the same stratosphere.
They turned into a basketball school.
Really?
Florida State has turned into a basketball. My niece laments that. She's a freshman at Florida State, and she went there all excited about football, and after the football season they had, they couldn't wait for basketball season.
Is that just this year or this moving year. Forward?
She couldn't wait for basketball season. So she was at the game yesterday. She is heartbroken because that's the reason they've had to be excited as Florida State this year. It's been their basketball.
Yeah, Florida State is one of those teams. I mean, granted, remember, they came off the Elite Eight last year. They almost went to the Final Four last year. They're returning pretty much just about everything from last year's team. The only thing about Florida State is, they're a little undisciplined sometimes. And I like, Leonard Hamilton and the way that he coaches. I mean, he's a defensive coach, and they have a lot of really big players and athletes and things of that nature. And this especially pretty tough at home when they play in Tallahassee. But, they're going to be okay. I think the part about the ACC is once you start, getting past Duke and Virginia, you don't really know who that third best team in the ACC is. Is it NC State? Is it North Carolina? Is it Florida State? There's really no clear-cut favorite. Virginia Tech is another one of those teams, and they're ranked top 10 in the country. So, but Florida State is a really good team, and they have a shot, again, at Duke and at Cameron Indoor, and most people think that's an automatic loss. But there's just no automatic games in this conference in the ACC, arguably the best conference in the country.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Deshaun Tate. Follow him on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports. You're talking ACC. You got to talk about the guys from over on North Avenue. Talk about surprises. Or were you surprised at the win at Syracuse?
I was definitely surprised. I went to the game the other night, Brother Crenshaw, to cover Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech. And after seeing Georgia Tech score 49 points and Virginia Tech score, shoot 28% from the field and 18% from three and still win, I was a little bit amazed at the way that the game was, you know, that they finished the game. But Georgia Tech is a very, very good defensive team. I don't think anybody's taking anything away from that. Josh Pastor mentioned multiple times in some of his post-game press conferences that he's amazed that his team has not necessarily been a better jump-shooting team. And the thing about that is when they're good, when they're hitting their shots, they're hitting them. But when they're not, they're not. And a couple nights ago, they were not. And yesterday, they were. 55% from the field in the Carrier Dome and 50% from three, which most people may not think about how tough that is. But when you're shooting in a dome, it's totally different than when you're shooting in a regular arena. And they went in and took care of business. This is Syracuse team that, remember I told you in the ACC, a lot of people didn't, like, we still don't know who the third best team is. Syracuse was expected to be that third best team behind Virginia and Duke, and they look totally different now, and it's a big win for Georgia Tech. Their last five games, and their scoring is coming along little by little, last five games has been scoring 79, 87, 92, 79 yesterday, and an unfortunate 49 against Virginia Tech. When they score 70, they're putting themselves right in the game to win games, and that's exactly what they did against Syracuse.
Deshaun, take a breath. While you do that, I'm going to reintroduce you. Deshaun Tate here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
He's got so much.
Joining
so
Sam
much.
And Greg. I mean, I have to keep telling him.
I got to get out my inhaler.
No, you're fine. But listen, when he comes on here, I have to remind him, he's not catching a flight. Okay, yeah. You're not running down to gate D17. Okay, just relax. You got the job, man. Welcoming you here.
We're glad to have you here.
Let me ask you this. For us knuckleheads that have been paying attention to football, this is the real reason we bring you on, is to tell us what from this past week in the world of college basketball we need to be focusing on, if anything, things status quo or something that we should, hey, you guys should know about this. What's going on, partner?
Well, coming up this week, you're going to have some pretty good games. You've got Duke and Syracuse coming up on Monday. That's expected to be a pretty good game. Of course, Kansas is playing, and you know, this could be this. And I told some people this pretty often and pretty frequently. Kansas is working on 15 consecutive regular season championships in the Big 12. Has not lost a Big 12 championship since 2004. That is when Facebook, Skype, HDTV, and all that other good stuff was invented. They have an opportunity to maybe go down after losing their two front court players this year, one of them because of some NCAA infractions, he's sitting, and then and that's Silvio D'Souza. The other being Udoka Azubuike, a seven-footer that's coming back since their Final Four run last year. However, he's injured for the rest of the season. If somebody's going to knock off Kansas, it has to be this year. That's one of the better streaks that there is in all of sports, if you ask me, underrated for sure. This is a Texas team that I feel like is going to be really good, a win that Shaka Smart needs really, really badly after losing last week at Texas against Texas Tech last night. And moving forward has a chance to knock off Kansas potentially, although they are playing in the field house. So it's going to be tough, but somebody has to be the team to do that. Hopefully this is a team, Texas, but if not, TCU is a really good team. In addition to, I'm kind of losing it for a second right here, but TCU is a really good team as well, and Texas Tech as well. So it's going to be interesting, but keep your eyes on Kansas and what they do moving forward for the rest of this season in the Big 12 Conference, because they're really young, and a lot of the players that they relied upon to get to the next level, if you will, and win their conference championships are going to be sitting for the remainder of the season or just for a little while.
That's what Ray
brought. Just a couple things to look forward to for the season coming up this week.
Okay. Take a breath, man.
Take a breather. We're talking with Deshaun Tate, our college basketball expert here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Once again,
didn't Ray bring that up earlier, though?
That?
Ray Glare, he brought up the Kansas streak.
Yep,
Kansas. That was just funny. He brought it up earlier. Yeah,
yeah. That Clemson could be the same thing in ACC as far as football goes. SEC, just give me a little something, SEC. I know Georgia lost at Auburn, and Auburn is down there winning with a bunch of players from Georgia, by the way. They win that they do.
In 11.
But talk about some other people in the conference. Tennessee is up at the top, and here's Ole Miss. Where do they come from? They beat Mississippi State. They're a contender team to watch in the conference now.
They are. One that a lot of people just really aren't talking about, you know, Kermit Davis, the head coach for Ole Miss, formerly head coach at Middle Tennessee State with that run that they went on a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament. He's just kind of like re-energized the whole program. It looked really good between Tyree and Shuler and Terrence Davis. A lot of their players, experienced guys, and just looking for someone to kind of invest in them and someone to kind of believe in them, if you will, and a coach that can kind of sell a system to them that they're willing to buy in. And that's exactly what happened. When you have a situation like this where you beat, you know, Mississippi State, your in-state rivals, you know, they're really good, obviously. He's probably the most not-talked-about coach that there is in the SEC and in the country, more than likely. Then you have a team like Tennessee who's pretty much running the table and looking phenomenal in just about anybody. But then, you know, Auburn looks pretty good. They've, you know, coming across some stumbles in the road or whatnot, but Auburn looks pretty good as well. I mean, you've got a few teams. Kentucky doesn't look like the same Kentucky. Matter of fact, they play Georgia up in Athens. It's always a good game. Always a good game between Georgia and Kentucky up in Athens. It's always crazy. That'll take place this Tuesday on the 15th. But where you have just a couple of those teams, it's kind of crazy to think about how this thing might turn out, because everybody was talking about Kentucky at one point that don't look like the Kentucky of old that we're used to seeing. And while everybody is, you know, definitely talking about Tennessee and there's Ole Miss right there, and Mississippi State's still going to be good. Don't get
right.
Twisted.
Oh, absolutely.
Mississippi State is still going to be a good team.
Oh yeah. Oh all yeah. Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, what you going to do today, man?
Oh, watch college hoops all day. You know that. I thought that was a trick question.
No, it wasn't. We got some playoff football action on. You got to like dip in and watch it. I mean, you don't hate football. I know that.
Michigan State is playing Penn State today.
I don't hate it. But it's just not going to get the love. My buddies don't even give me a call and say, "Hey, let's go out to the bar and watch football," because they already know I'm at home. I'm glued in. It's college basketball season as far as I'm concerned. So all the football lovers, enjoy what's left of it. Because after this, we're between 94 feet on the hardwood.
There you go.
Welcome to my world.
That's what he's sitting back on.
All right, man. Deshaun, as always, we appreciate the knowledge.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
All right, man.
I think I talk fast.
Yeah.
And I do.
But he's got so much he's bringing.
But he doesn't have to jam it all out there.
He's trying to bring us so much.
I know. But we love him in the moment because he's like the greatest interview. We went down and got some donuts while he was up giving answers. We are going to talk, believe it or not, about a big event starting tonight.
Yes.
It will be the next day, but tonight.
And something special is happening at that event. That's coming up when you come back with us here on a game day Saturday morning on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. A game day Sunday. Of course, you heard in the update, we've got divisional football action going on, Chargers and Patriots, followed by Eagles and Saints. Of course, if you want to hear some basketball, Hawks are taking on the Bucks pregame at 3. Tip off.
Yep.
At 3:30. Speaking of basketball, 2001.
Yes.
You know what happened down the street, around the corner, up the block, over there at Phillips? They retired Dominique's number.
Ah.
Today's the day. Today's the anniversary.
Today's the day.
2001.
Number 21.
Now, you know this off the top of your head, so there's no point in just making it like a trivia question. Tell everybody the other two numbers that were retired in the rafters where the Hawks play. Or the other two players. The other two players that have their numbers retired.
Bob Pettit.
Yep.
And Lou Hudson.
There you go. Yep. That's you. See, we knew you know that.
Yep.
Now, for extra credit, what's the numbers?
I'm on Facebook Live. Dave Archer is watching my Facebook Live.
David Archer. Tell him I said hello.
Dave, what's up, man? Greg says what's happening. He goes, good morning to you.
Tell him we're going to be calling him for perspective as we get closer to the Super Bowl.
Now, Greg said we're going to put you to work, man.
Yeah, not now. Not now. We'll put him to work later on. Before the Super Bowl.
Hey, speaking of things that happened on this day,
mm-hmm. Let me ask you, if you know, does his name sound familiar?
What's that?
Brian Smith. Derek Brian Smith. Sound familiar? No? How about this name? His partner, Sean Eckhart.
Ah. Well,
those are the two guys that took a pipe to Nancy Kerrigan's knees.
Wasn't somebody named Galooly?
That's her boyfriend. He wasn't there. He played an Al Capone. He went down to Florida while the St. Valentine's Day Massacre was going on. So no, he wasn't with those
okay.
two.
Okay. Yeah, I know we were.
These were the two knuckleheads that for Tonya Harding, who took out Nancy Kerrigan.
Yep. Yep.
Took out her knees.
Yes.
In 94.
Yep.
So that was when is I asked you this question, Mr. Crenshaw?
Yes.
This is like one of those when is tonight tomorrow? I feel like the Riddler from Batman.
I know it. I know it.
When is tonight actually tomorrow?
And you know what, folks? If you go to the Australian Open website, they kind of have a thing.
Well, you didn't answer the question, man.
I'm just saying they have a thing on when is tonight tomorrow.
Thank God.
You answer it.
This is how we started the show. You're doing your own show.
You answer it then.
No, I'm asking you. You know it. This is a tee off to you doing what you're about to do. You say, when you're in Australia.
Okay. When you're in Australia tonight, it's tomorrow. I'm just saying because right now it's 12:45 the next day there, and it's 8:45 here. If you go on their website, it has Melbourne time and your time wherever you are, just to make sure you know that. So tonight,
two. This is what the director does. Cut. Reset. Right.
So
last
tonight.
Looks, everybody. Okay. When is tonight actually tomorrow?
When you're in Australia.
Yeah.
Or another side of the time.
And why is that relevant?
Because tonight the Australian Open starts. Tonight our time, tomorrow their time. It'll be 11 a.m. their time when the first match happens at 7 o'clock our time.
There you
go. It'll all get started. The Australian Open, the first major tournament of the year. Should be exciting time. Andy Murray announced, of course, his retirement, just not able to come back from those injuries, recurring injuries. And you miss having him. He's been a mainstay as one of the top four players for some time.
You know, I only care about one name on the men's side.
Okay.
Only because of his name. And when is he playing?
He's when is this?
Jack Sock.
Jack Sock plays tomorrow. Jack Sock from America is playing Alex Bolt of Australia.
Any relation
tomorrow.
To you know who?
I don't. No, this guy plays tennis. He don't run.
Well, he could be related to him still.
Well, he could be, but I don't,
different complexion.
I don't very.
Okay, that's all you
say. But that don't mean he's not related.
That's true too.
That doesn't mean that does not mean that. But no, he's a tennis player. But it gets started tonight, and we're going to see some home folks on this very first day of these matches. Obviously, you're watching Rafael Nadal will be in action today. Caroline Wozniacki will be in action today. We talk about Sloane Stephens. She's going to play against Taylor Townsend, who's from our area. They play each other in the first round coming up today. Chris Eubanks, young man from Westlake High School and Georgia Tech, been a guest of the show before. He played his way through the qualifying rounds, and he will play in the opening round, and he will be on at 7 o'clock coming up tonight. So those are some of the players that are playing. John Isner also plays tonight later. So if you want to see John, he's going to be like the third person on court 8. That might be about 2 a.m. or something, if you want to stay up that late to watch him play, to stand out from University of Georgia. Venus and Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka, our U.S. Open champion, played on Tuesday night. It'll be like Tuesday morning, but Monday night.
Right.
So like tomorrow night, you would tune in and you would watch Venus and Serena play, and Naomi Osaka, they'll be playing their first matches of the U.S. Open for this year. Madison Keys also plays tomorrow as well. Roger Federer plays tonight. And so you watch for some of those matches. And just the first event of the year. The players have been over there since, really, they have to be over there right at Christmas almost.
Between Serena and Roger Federer.
That was
a doubles.
The doubles match. Mixed, first time they've been on the court together at the same time. That was New Year's Day. But most of the players, if they get to spend Christmas in the States, they maybe spend a half the day and they're on a jet just to get acclimatized and get used. It's summertime there. It's summertime there, so it's a different type of struggle. Heat is always part of the story when doing these matches, too.
Got a question for you.
Yep.
In your opinion, what would happen first? A female tennis player beating a male tennis player, same contemporaries, okay? Or a college team in football beating an NFL team? The best college team could ever be put together against the worst NFL team. We've heard that before. We've heard that comparison.
Yeah.
We also heard players say on both levels, that would never happen.
Never happen.
We've heard Serena Williams say that there's no way she could beat a man's player.
Especially not a top 150 player.
Okay. So
now you get down below that, she might get a shot. But, I mean, not somebody that's top ranked. So you just mean in
somebody
general.
Somebody on the circuit. Somebody on the circuit.
She probably could beat somebody on the circuit. But, I mean, not nobody that's ranked, in the top 50.
She beat Jack Sock?
No.
Even before the baby?
No.
Okay. I was just curious about that. But listen, we're talking
they're doing something different.
That's what
event.
I want you to mention before something we walked out of here. Event.
And Bo, I want to bring Bo another side of glass in on this.
We'll get a minute.
All right, but I'm saying they are having something so unique at the Australian Open. They are having a massive Fortnite tournament. Fortnite Summer Smash. We're talking esports at a major sporting event. Bo, talk about this. I showed it to you. I think this is phenomenal.
Yeah, and so they're taking the first 500 entrants, and they're putting them into a Fortnite tournament at the Australian Open where the winner is going to take home 100,000 Gs. So they're taking these 500 people, they're putting them into tiers or into brackets. They're playing 20 at a time, and the top six advance from every one until there's only one guy left. You get scored points for number of kills and number of wins and whatnot, and whoever has the most points is going to win. They also have a pro-am division where celebrities and you know, professional gamers, I guess, are going to be playing alongside some of the entrants there. So that's really cool, man. It's really cool to see that kind of coming.
They're selling ticket packages to people. That's part of your ticket package. You can go to the Australian
Open. It's a great way to get young people, you know, involved in the game of tennis, because while they're sitting there waiting on their next match, they're going to be watching tennis. And it's a really fun game to watch and play. People just don't know that yet, I think. I don't think it's marketed very
How long
well,
before we see this at some other sporting events to see esports
Dude,
married
it's
in
here.
At the same
It's going to be here
same,
for the Super Bowl.
At the same, I'm oh. talking about in the same venue, not at a tent down the street.
Well, why would
I'm
you put it in the same venue as a Super Bowl?
This is in the same venue.
Okay, but that's just a on. Tennis event. There's outdoor and all that, and there's the court.
I'm just saying
it's a major, though. I mean,
it's a major event.
It's the worst of the majors, but I get what you're saying. In other words, I don't see this ever at Wimbledon. I do see this at the NFL, at the college football, at the championship game. Like, they could have put it at Mercedes-Benz. You know, they could have done it there. I could absolutely see it, something going on at World Congress Center.
I think you'll see something at the NBA Finals first.
Yeah.
Because the NBA is involved in E-League already, E-Leagues.
But not in the same venue, because you got how many thousands of people showed up at that one? You got 10, 15,000 that showed up at one. I forgot where the venue was, right? Earlier this past year.
Oh, they've had stuff at the Staples Center,
so
places like that.
You can't have that going on simultaneously with the actual game. That's what you were asking a minute ago.
No, but I'm just saying on the same property, on the same plot.
Yeah, but they only play, you know, when you get to the NBA playoffs, they play like two games a week. So you have a game, then you have 3 days of tournament, then you have another game while they're home or something. You could very easily do that.
I think good luck with that because that city sells that tournament out for concerts and things like that.
I think U.S. Open Tennis might look at this, too.
I could see that happening in the U.S. Open in the fall.
Just the tip of the iceberg, folks. And by the way, you know, once all the football is done, we'll get back into our e-sport here on Sunday morning, too. Because we enjoy doing that.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So let it be written, so let it be done. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.